Brother Chris called me this summer and invited me to come down for the New Year's meeting. I didn't need to pull out my calendar. I didn't need to ask my wife. Probably should have. I just said, yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen some of your faces. Before we go into our topic tonight, I want to let you all know a couple of things. Number one, how impactful and important Little Union Church was really in the infancy of my ministry. Your encouragement, your prayers, your words of thought to this day still mean the world to me. Secondly, I'm thankful, as I know you all got to visit with some of your own last week, now part of our own, to report to you that the Lawrence family is being a great blessing to Bethany Church. And we thank you all for letting us have them for a while. You know, the Lord blesses us in a variety of different ways. Where we're at this time may not be where we need to be tomorrow. Sometimes we like that, sometimes we don't like that. But where we need to be is where the Lord wants us to be. That's not as easy to figure out as I just made it sound, is it? I'm in a new place. Lawrence is in a new place. Maybe some of y'all are in a new place here. Brother Chris is still relatively new to the Tampa. You're getting to like it. But there are certain times in our lives that the Lord wants us to be certain places. Sometimes we don't even know where we're at, do we? Early on in the story of salvation, going all the way back to Genesis, we have a man who's trying to figure out where he was at. God's trying to get him to figure out where he's at. Y'all know the story of Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit. There's a question there that has really always intrigued me. Where art thou? Now, sometimes you and I ask questions because we want to know the answer. Some of y'all were kids that raised your hands every time you needed to know something. Some of y'all were kids like me and you just shouted out a question because you wanted to know information. You wanted to know what you were looking for. You didn't know. And by the way, brethren, not knowing is a great concern to mankind. We always want to know. From the time our children are wee little ones, one of the first things they learn how to do is ask why. You know why they're asking you why? Because they want to know. And that not knowing a lot of times causes fear and panic. Where are we going? I don't know. I'm lost. Well, look up. Look it on the map. We want to know why. It causes fear and panic. But God asks this question to Adam, not because he wants to know. We serve an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God who knows everything, who is everywhere. He doesn't need to know where Adam is, doesn't have the question of where you are tonight. He doesn't need to know where Brother Silas was yesterday or earlier today. He knows. So when God asks the question, and you see them over and over and over again, it's an incredible teaching tool. Preachers do it. Brother Chris, I'm sure, does it. He'll stand up here, make a point, and ask a question. Not because he expects all of you to arise and give the answer to him or raise your hand and say, I know the answer, but to get your wills turning, to get you to think. So he asks this question to Adam, and it's a very important question. It's, where art thou? Adam has sinned. He's in a completely different place at this time. Not necessarily physically, because he's still in the garden. So, but he's in a different place spiritually. He's in a different place mentally. He is in a whole different realm of being at this time. God says, "Where art thou?" 3 years ago, I stood right here at about this time, and I attempted to share a message with you of be still and know that I am God. Tonight, I want to ask you, where art thou? Where are you at? Where am I at? And there are three aspects of your life that I specifically want to cover, three very important aspects of your life that you need to know, that we need to know individually, as families, and collectively as a church body. We need to know where we are at. If not, we need to ask the question. Had a very long conversation with Brother Chris the other day, and if you've ever been on a phone call with him, you've probably had that same very long conversation too. And he shared with me some of the things that Little Union Church is doing to reach out and to minister to its community. And I'm thankful to hear that. You have a place where you kind of know where you're at right now, although it's a little new and it's a little, you know, we don't know where we're at. You know where you're going. Where we ought to be going into the service of God's people. Where we ought to be going to them with is with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, where are we at? Now, the question itself kind of leads to the idea of a physical place. A place where we're at. You know, the word at itself, it gives us an idea of a physical dimension. We could say we are at Little Union Church. Brother Silas is standing in a pulpit. You are sitting in the pew. We could say we are in Lithia, Florida. We are in the United States of America. We're on this terrestrial ball that we call Earth. We are in our solar system. And you go on and on answering the question of where we're at. And sometimes we just don't think where we're at is that important. There are Sundays where maybe you wake up and you go, where am I at? You know, what am I doing here? Where am I going? And is where I'm going to be relevant to anything? Well, it is. There are times where God wants us in very specific places. God wanted Brother Chris in Lithia, Florida at Little Union Church several years ago. God wanted him here. He desired you to call him here. He desired, I believe, at least by what I have been able to witness, Brother Lawrence and his family up in the Atlanta area. Where you are is important. Where Paul was important. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul, first of all, he gives a great encouragement to the church there at Rome. He says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." That's a pretty incredible encouragement, isn't it? He says, your faith is spoken of through some place. This place is the whole world. Now, you and I both know not every individual in the world realized who the church at Rome was, or realized that there even was a church at Rome. But he says, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Paul tells the church at Rome, "I desire to be with you." When you called me, Brother Chris, Brother Silas desired to be with you. That seems like a good thing, doesn't it? There are places that you could be that seem to be places where maybe you're needed, or places where you can serve, places where you can minister, but it may not necessarily be the right time. Paul goes forward to say, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as I among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Paul says, "I desire to come to you, but I can't." And there was a specific reason that he couldn't, was Paul was desired to be in another place by God. And when it comes down to your desire and God's desire, what you ought to follow is God's desire. He is the omnipotent one. He is the omniscient one. If he wanted somebody to go to Nineveh, didn't he? Jonah didn't want to go. How many times have we seen that? Throughout the course of Scripture, you see God saying, go this way, and the minister or the prophet or the man goes that way, and how many times do they get in trouble? Well, just about every one of those times. Sometimes they get in trouble on the way, but that's all part of the journey. Where you're at is important. Sometimes he desires for us to be with a group of people. He desires to go for us to go to a land. Sometimes there's a specific place in that land that he desires for us to go. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Sometimes there's a specific place in that city. Verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Sometimes the land isn't close enough. The Lord wants us to zero in a little more. On the way down here, I was using my phone for the GPS, and we were going to stop at Brother Chris's house on the way here so we could freshen up and look, you know, put on our tie and look presentable as we came into the place. And it got a little close to time, so I called Brother Chris and I said, I'm just going to go on down to the church. And I asked Alex, turn the GPS off. I got a pretty good idea where I'm at. I called Brother Chris, and in fact, I talked to Brother Matthew. I said, I'm about 10 minutes away from the church. Well, I was actually about 3 minutes away from the church. I was close, but not close enough. Sometimes the land isn't close enough. Sometimes God called you to a very specific place. But once again, that's not as easy as we think it is it? There are people that they'll move to a city, and maybe some of you, the example of the Lawrences. They move to Atlanta. They're in the northeastern quadrant of the Metroplex, and they're looking for a house in a very specific place, Hamilton Mill. And they're looking around, and they've got a while for their next appointment. And they said, let's go see Bethany Church. Good enough. They drive down to Bethany Church. They find out where it's out, and lo and behold, they find a house right down the road. Literally, they live closer to the church than anybody else. Their idea, their goal, and sometimes our ideas precede us, their goal was to move to Atlanta, search around, seek the other churches, find the place that they felt like God wanted them to be, and be there. Sometimes it's difficult, at least in our eyes that way. Sometimes it's as easy as God saying, here's a house, and oh, by the way, a mile away, here's the church. Being a part of the local body is important. We think it's important I think it's probably important y'all be here, you'll work here, you go to school here, you have families here. But I think it's rather important that you be in this place at this time. Where you're at is critical. Where you're at, as he said, being a faithful, coming to church on Sunday mornings is important. Don't let your mind or Satan deceive you. God commands us to be with the church. Matthew chapter 28 is an example of that. So, we understand, I hope, that where we're at physically is important. Sometimes you may be in a place where you're the only one that can bring comfort through God's message to those people. Sometimes a smiling face. I had the opportunity, I don't know if Brother Chris was able to share with you, the tragic circumstances involving Elder Ken Still's family. Elder Ken Still's youngest son was in a motorcycle accident that took the life of his girlfriend. A week later, his oldest son commits suicide. very, very tragic circumstances. The day after his son had taken his life, I was able to visit with him in a while. And I'd called Brother David Crawford. Y'all know him, right? And I said, "What do I say?" He said, "Just be there. Just be there. Just the sight of you, just knowing that you've taken the time to come be there." He said, "Job's friends were a great comfort to him till they opened their mouth." It's the truth. Just being there, it's important. You come in on a Sunday morning, and you're all going to come in, and you're all going. Every time I've been here, some of y'all sitting in the same place you were last time I was here. Some of the pews fit y'all, I'm sure of it. You come in, and you see a bench that's empty. And you know, that person should be here. And that person shows back up, and you say, "Whew, sure I'm glad they're not gone. Sure glad they're still with us." Didn't that bring you comfort to know that? There's seats that are filled tonight in this place that aren't going to be filled in 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. And you wish you'd been with them. And they wish they could be with you. So where we're at physically is important. But just as important as that is where we're at mentally. Some of y'all right now aren't with me at all. I don't know that I necessarily blame you for that. Some of y'all aren't going to be with me 5 minutes from now. We've got at Bethany, we also had at Palm Chapel, we don't have anything over our windows, and they're not frosted, they're clear. And I can tell when folks are just, they're wandering off. I used to have a teacher said all the time, "Where's your mind at?" So that's just another question for you. Where's your mind at? The singing's great. I love to sing. Where was your mind at during the song service? Was it on the pitch? Was it on the tempo? Was it on "I like the tune"? Was it on the words? Was it on the unity? Where was your mind at? Where's your mind at right now? And where's your mind going to be this evening? Is it going to be on needful things? You know, several years ago, I shared with you, I tried to preach a message on the Good Samaritan. You know what happens right after the Good Samaritan? Lord walks into a house and there's two ladies there. One of them's doing everything she can to prepare a meal and to prepare the home and prepare everything for her visitors, for her guests. And the other one's down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him speak. Martha comes in there and Christ tells her she's chosen the most needful thing. It's important that our minds be in the right place. When our mind's not in the right place, bad things can happen. If you turn with me to Daniel, you'll see kind of one of those bad things that happen. Chapter 5. Verse 18. "O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." Nobility went away when his mind went to other things. "And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of man, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will." Now listen. "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest this." He didn't learn his daddy's lesson. His mind, Nebuchadnezzar's mind, wasn't in the right place. His mind became hardened. His mind got off of the right things, off of doing what a king ought to do. And his son was no better, even though he knew it. Their minds took them away from nobility. Now, if you turn to Acts 17, you're going to see your mind being in a positive place, taking you to a place of nobility. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. These people of Berea were ready to receive the gospel with all readiness of mind. What were you thinking in the 30 minutes leading up to the service? Did you come? What was I thinking in the 30 minutes leading up to the service? Did I come with readiness of mind? Did you come with readiness of mind? Just the question the teacher used to ask me, where's your mind at? Where was your mind? Our minds ought to be in the right places. There's a very specific place that we are to set our affections, and that is on things above, right? You know what that word affections is translated like in the rest of the New Testament? Mind. Thinking. Mindful. We are to set our mind on things above, not on the things of this world. And y'all got a problem just like I got a problem. You know what that problem is? We set our mind on the things of this world way too much. First thing some of us do when we get home is turn on the television and turn on the news, isn't it? Just because we want to see how bad it gets. How bad it is. What'd the president do today? What are they taking? What right are they taking away from me today? What did they do over here today? Not saying that none of that stuff is important for us to be aware of, but when we set our mind on it constantly, we're setting our mind on things below. Where our minds need to be, we're on things above. In Romans chapter 12, it says that we can be transformed by the renewing of the mind. All readiness of mind is great. It means you're capable, you're able, you're willing to accept that which you hear from the Spirit and from God. Understanding and hearing those things and applying them to our lives is the next step. The step after that is allowing it and allowing our mind to be renewed. That way it transforms our life. Every one of y'all are happy all the time, aren't you? That was wrong. As happy as I seem sometimes, I'm not happy all the time. And don't allow the world to make you think that you ought to be happy all the time. There's a great deal of blessing that comes via suffering, via being down here as opposed to up here. The Lord blesses that. Where's our mind? Where's our mind? Where are we physically? And when we're physically there, where is our mind at? But perhaps the most important question is, where are you spiritually? Because where you're at spiritually ought to impact where your mind is and where you're at physically. It ought to dictate to you whether or not you are in the right place. Now, there's a term that Scripture uses over and over again. It's in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The beginning of that phrase is a preposition. It's the word in. And it recognizes a place. It's a specific place. Scripture talks about it over and over again. About that's where you ought to be. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Not will not, not may not, cannot please God. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So here's the next question. Where are we walking? Do we walk in the Spirit? Is it a place? Do we actually feel like it's a tangible, concrete place? Or is it just some made up thing, some thing that we have an idea of what it is, and it's kind of there, it may not be there, it may be here, it may be over there? Or is it a very real place to you? As a born again child of God, Bible believing old Baptist, you and I need to believe that it is a very tangible place. It is the place that Elder Ken Still and his family need to be in right now. Because it's the only place that, as a child of God, that you and I can get peace. Walking in this world when our mind are set on things below, when we're not in the physical place that God desires for us to be, we cannot have peace. We might be able to access some of the Spirit there, but we can't be fully at peace. You will never be fully at peace unless you're able to access the Holy Spirit in the place that God desires for you to be, with your mind and affection set on things above. That's your challenge. That's my challenge. That's where we ought to live our life. In the very real conceptual world, there is a place that God desires for me to be. Now, sometimes, if you're like me, you ask yourself this question. Am I where God desires for me to be, mentally, physically, spiritually? And you answer that question with maybe not. If that's the answer, we need to be diligently finding that place. It's work. It's real easy to sit back, to sit down, and get comfortable with where you're at, isn't it? The opportunity of working with many people, I came to a lot of conclusions. One of them is this. People generally stop giving effort whenever they get comfortable. Y'all experience that? Some people desire to make X number of dollars a year. When they make that X number of dollars a year, they're satisfied with that, they get comfortable, and there's no use putting in any more sweat equity. Y'all seen that? Some people are happy with the homes they live. Some people are happy with the church they're in, and as long as they're sufficiently happy or they're content in that place, they're not willing to put in any more. Well, I'm going to tell you what God's Word teaches is you got to put in more. You got to put in more. Brethren, being a member of a church is ought to be overtime work. It ought to be something you're willing to invest into. Invest is probably the wrong word, because that means you're putting it in to try to get something back. But brethren, if we're not willing to go that extra mile, to be in the right place, to be there at the right time, to be where God desires for us to be, what in the world are we doing? Where do you have to go? What rock do you have that can hide you as well as the rock that is Jesus Christ? What place do you have that you can go to when all else is going wrong? And I know y'all have been through some tragedy this year as well. When all else is going wrong, what other place do you have where you can find peace, where you can find comfort, where you can find joy? There is no other place. We need to be in the right place physically. We need to be in the right place spiritually. We need to be in the right place mentally. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. It's one verse, kind of spells out the way Paul lived his life or attempted to live his life. Verse 22, listen to this. Acts 20, verse 22. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He says, now I go in the Spirit. He knew where he needed to be. He knew where he was going. He was going to Jerusalem. He knew the physical place that he needed to be. And he says, I go there not knowing. When he'd get there, his mind was ready to see what waited upon him at Jerusalem. Paul himself, You know, I think sometimes we have this, and these men, these apostles, they did supernatural things. You're not gonna be able to grasp and understand what actually occurred in those years after Jesus Christ's death. Paul brought a young man by the Holy Spirit, brought him back to life. We've seen people die. We've seen people, you know, we see the shows where they take and you know, they shock them back to life. We see that sometimes. Sometimes we even see things a little stranger than that. What these men did were incredible. But they themselves were not supernatural. It was the power of God that did it. So I think sometimes we put men like Paul and Peter kind of in a different place, although they were as apostles, in a different place than the rest of mankind. You know what Peter was? He was a fisherman. It's what he was. The rest of these apostles, they were ordinary men. Now, I'm not about to raise somebody from the dead. I'm not about to prophesy to you what's going to happen tomorrow or down the road. And I'm certainly not going to speak to you in a language that you or I don't understand. But what I can do is I can do what Paul did, and I can be where God desires for me to be. With His people. How many times do you see each other if it's not Sunday? You desire? Do you have a desire to be where God desires for you to be? Scriptural example is they met and broke bread from house to house. That's a physical place. It's where God desires us to be from time to time. Question for you. Unless somebody is related to you or lives right next door to you, when's the last time you were in another one of y'all's homes here? There's a place that God desires for you to be. When's the last time you had someone in your home? We're looking for challenges for the new year. Have someone in your home. Brother Silas, you hadn't seen my house. Or y'all hadn't seen my house. But y'all, welcome to come visit me. There's a physical place. And once you're in that physical place together, be of the same order, but unified in mind, aren't we? We're to have unity. Your minds need to be in the same place. The Spirit's already taken care of, right? Now y'all need to be walking in the right place in the Spirit. All that being said, I want to turn to John chapter 14. Here's the good news. Is that a challenge? I kind of hope that I've challenged you here tonight. I kind of hope that I'm taking this as a challenge tonight. To end the next year, be where God desires for you to be. And if you don't know where God desires for you to be, ask. Fall on your knees. And then after you ask, fall on your knees and ask, listen. And see. And look. And feel. That is a challenge, really. But there's one place that's not a challenge. And the reason it's not a challenge is because you and I don't have to fight that battle. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, in the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is it a challenge to know where we're supposed to be? And where's my mind supposed to be? Where's my, you know, where am I at in the spirit? Where's my physical place here? And sometimes we get to a place where we're so concerned about it, we're worrying about it, and we're stressed out about it, and it's affecting us in another way. But there's one thing you don't have to worry about. There's one place you don't have to stress out about. There's a place where you don't have to figure, as I did as a little child, laying on my bed, having believed, having thought that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and hear a strange noise and wonder if that's Him coming back and if I'm in the right place to go to heaven. There's a place where you don't have to worry about that, and that's in grace. That's in mercy. And that's in the love of Jesus Christ. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I love that because it's a direct pronoun. I go to prepare a place for you. A physical place. He did the work. He suffered those men to nail him to a Roman cross. That's another one of those things we kind of overshadow, isn't it? It's a cross. We see them everywhere. Some have them around your neck. Some have them in your churches. Some have them hanging in your homes. It's a cross. That cross was the cruelest form of execution and punishment that man had ever devised. It caused a man to suffocate. It caused a man to have toxins run through his body. It caused a man to suffer for days on end many times. And he suffered that for me. He suffered it for you. And he said he would go prepare a place. He said that? He said, I go to prepare a place. So when you think, you know, when you think about those times where it's just, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It ain't easy. There is a cost associated with that. For some people, it's their families. Y'all love your families, don't you? For some people, it costs them their families to follow Jesus Christ. There's a cost to it. So it is hard. I'm with you. It's hard for me. It's hard for Brother Chris. It's hard for the deacons. It's hard for everyone in here. So when it gets hard for you to know and to hear and to feel, where does the Lord want me to be? These are the words you go to. He says, wherever you're at right now, it's not going to cost you where you're going to be. Isn't that comforting? Where you're at right now is not going to cost you where you're going to be. That's the good news. Because where we're going to be, brethren, is a lot better place than this. I can't describe it to you. I can start to. I can read to you about it in Scripture. But I'm not sure our minds can wrap around that. That place is a place that we sing, and it's all through our hymnal. It's all through the Scripture. When you get to a point where you don't know where I'm at, you thank God because you know that's where you're going to be. And Lord bless you is our prayer.